Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
A special caller calls in. Who is this?
Hello.
Hello. Is this my wife?
Yes, it is.
Hello, wife. How are you?
Your husband.
It's bad that you have to ask that.
I had to make sure. I had to make sure.
We just have a question for you.
What's up?
How was that Louisville game?
Well, it was fine, okay?
All right. Well, we're all listening in. Go Vols.
We love your show.
All right. Love you guys. Have a good night. Appreciate it. Thank you, honey. Love you. No. No, I don't hear the Go Vols. I'm hanging up on you now. I'm hanging up. Get out of here. I don't hear Go Vols. And welcome into the Roundtable on ESPN 680 105.7. I'm James Strebel. I've got you for the next 3 hours live here in the Liquor Barn Studios. Mark Blankenbaker will be joining us directly as soon as he's putting his daughter down for a little nap time.
I'm going to hold off on the horn until he gets in.
Yes, you can haul off into the good thinking, Tanner. We'll haul off into the horn until Blankenbaker officially gets here, but he's putting his little daughter down for a nap, which I can completely understand as my 8 month, soon to be nine month year old tomorrow. He will be 9 months old. Had to put him down for his naps, and boy, if you're a parent and you have or have had a little one like that, you know how important those naps are, especially when you're getting ready to do a little live drive time sports talk radio. How Kentucky country Dixie Highway did I sound there, Tanner? I mean, live sports talk radio.
I'll give you an 8.5 on that.
8.5, that's good. That's damn good. I appreciate that. As the folks know, Anna Turullo is usually here with me on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But Tanner, do you know what she's doing this week? Do you know what she's doing?
She's on vacation. I saw she was at a beach or something.
Yeah, so she's at, you know,
I'm jealous though.
Do you know who Maria Montgomery is?
Am I gonna look like an idiot if I
you're
say
not
no
no no, right, no, no, so you're not, no, you're not from no. around here, so right, that's yeah. okay. All right, she is a former Miss Kentucky winner and a Miss America, I believe Miss America candidate. Yes, and she married a former Kentucky basketball walk-on by the name of Todd Lanter. And now she has deals with, like, I believe DraftKings. Oh. She's like a certified influencer. And yeah, so Anna's very, very good friends with her. They met obviously when Anna was in Lexington, and she's a bridesmaid. So, well, I think they got married Saturday or Sunday. They've got married over the weekend, but they're doing like a week long celebration. And I forgot which beach it is, but it is it's not Florida. If I remember right, it's either like North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. I don't know, something like that. But it looks swanky. Wherever she is, it doesn't look like staying at the Marriott on the beach. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's pretty swanky. Oh, we got blank. Oh,
I'm here.
He's here. Yes.
It does look swanky where Anna is. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but she posted a picture of her in a bikini. What are we supposed to do with that? You know what I mean?
Like, that happened. It happened during the show yesterday, Mark. And,
oh my God!
Yeah, and I was so in. Max and I were so in depth on T-shirt talk around Daddy Tees we were like, I don't know. We had the same reaction you did, Mark. I don't know what to do with this.
I mean, good. And I saw one of her photos from over the weekend. All the bridesmaids are taking a photo, and all I could see in the background was the bride was like had like a fifth of vodka.
Yeah,
and I'm like, this looks like a great wedding.
This looks
like a wedding that I'd want to like attend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is Murray at Montgomery, so you know it's going to be a 10. You know.
Oh, okay, got it. Understood.
Tanner did not know who Murray at Montgomery was, which is fine. Again, he's not from around here, so I understand it. So, Tanner, whenever you get a chance, do a little Instagram search on Maria Montgomery, and then we'll get his live reaction on air. But Mark, thanks so much for joining me. I was telling the folks that you're putting L down for a nap. It's nap time. I'm in the same boat as you are right now with Reed. Those naps are super important because if you don't put them down for a nap, they turn into demons. They turn into literal demons that want to do nothing but ruin your life.
Well, this is a little irregular for us because L has been pretty sick. You know, so we've had COVID throughout the house. Diener gave it to me.
Okay. Oh, because he's going to not Keith Urban, Kenny Chesney concerts.
No, last Monday, Diener did the show, and he just got back from Vegas, and we thought that he had like just an hour of G reaction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, you've been traveling, you go to the desert, there's no allergies in the desert, you come back, you hit the Ohio Valley, boom.
Sure.
Turns out he's sick. Right?
Yeah.
So he gives it to me. I come home. I sleep. It ruins my entire 4th of July. Like, I sweat. I slept for, like, I set, like, a world record for sleep. You
know? It happens. I get it.
There are all these tornadoes and storms happening. I'm like, did it rain? Ashley goes, it didn't rain. It was the world's worst storm. How'd you sleep through it? And I was, so then a couple days later, Ashley gets it. Now Elle, now Willow. So, like, it's just, all the isolation that we've tried to do is just created a slow domino fall. So typically, Elle at this point would be at daycare, but she can't go to daycare because she's sick. So
yeah.
So there we are. So and then yesterday, Elle got a steroid drink. I guess they give a toddler steroids in a drink.
Okay.
Instead of because they can't give it to them in a pill.
Sure.
I don't know why it's not a shot, but it was a drink. And so today she has had the energy of a sick little zombie. You know what I mean? She's everywhere.
Right. Dude, you give kids those steroids, not the Mark McGuire, Barry Bonds steroids. Everyone settle down. We're not trying to juice our kids up for future athletic competitions. It's a medical steroid. But yeah, you give those steroids to kids, man, they lose their minds.
So that's what's happened. That's what we've been dealing with.
When they become teenagers, they just get mad.
Oh, really? Well, I can't take prednisone, personally.
Okay.
Last time I took prednisone, I yelled at my sweet mother, and I never do that. So I'll never take it again. You know.
So
my mom's like the nicest person on earth.
So we need to confirm L's down on air, right? L is down.
Asleep.
There you go. I like that pivot by you, Mark. Well, hopefully you're on the mend now and feeling better. Was this your second time with COVID?
It's my second time, Ashley's third time.
Oh, wow.
And both times that I've got it, Diener gave it to me.
Just throwing him right under the bus. It's Diener's fault. I've only had it once. I only had it the one time back when it was, you know, sweeping through everybody. And so, knock on wood, hopefully that's the only time. I'm sure I'll get it eventually. It's like the flu now. I mean, you're just going to get it.
Well, I think it just gets me harder, because whenever I even get, the vaccine, you know, it just puts me out. But I actually thought I got vaccinated last fall, but I didn't.
Oh.
I went and checked my chart. I was like, I thought I got vaccinated. No, you skipped a year, Mark, and then you got sick. So,
there you go. See, I've only taken the initial one. That's it. I haven't taken anything else. I haven't done any boosters or anything.
Well, given how this one went for me, I will probably just take the day that it puts me out at, or as opposed to
the 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was awful. Like, it was honestly terrible.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, well, I'll
I don't want to get away from me here.
I'll keep my ears perked up and see what happens. So today we have a lot to talk about. Obviously, Jeff Brohm spoke to the media yesterday. We talked to Matt McGavick about that. I want to get, you know, wrap some things up with Mark, obviously. Dan Hurley, his contract financial numbers have been released, and we know now how much he makes at UConn. How much did he leave on the table at Kentucky? Power rankings for Kentucky opposing QBs. I'd like to get Mark's ranking for U of L opposing QBs. You don't have to do all of them, Mark, but just maybe some highlights. Hot seat watch is on right now, Mark Blankenbaker, because you know you're getting closer to football season when the hot seat charts come out.
Yeah.
So where does Brohm and Stoops fall in the hot seat charts? I don't know if you got to listen to it, Mark, but I sent attached on my show notes here. Chris Mack did a podcast with the Field of 68, and he spoke a little about his departure at Louisville, and then Bart Torvik has Kentucky and Louisville, vastly separate parts of the spectrum as far as top, you know, ranking all 164 members of Division I or however many it is.
You
what,
sent
whatever.
Show notes? You sent show notes?
Yeah, I emailed them to you. That's okay if you didn't get them. It's okay.
You sent them to Ennis.
Did I send them to Ennis? I may have sent them to Ennis. I bet I did. Hold on. Let me go back here. I sent them to Max. I think I sent them to Max. Lear, I'll shoot these to you real quick here.
There we go. Perfect.
On air, Mark, so you can follow along with the different segments and what we're talking about.
Perfect.
But 437-9680, UPS Jobs, text line if you want to hop on there and interact with the show that way. That's the best way to do it. So check that out. So Mark, okay, here we go. Show notes and copy paste send.
Perfect.
Okay, there we go. So you should get those here momentarily. So Jeff Brohm spoke with the media yesterday. He did a big boy press conference, as that term has now been thrown into the zeitgeist of America.
Okay.
with the president and all that stuff. So he did a press conference yesterday, spoke a lot about his quarterbacks, obviously, and then he also touched on something that I think a lot of Louisville fans last season were kind of asking themselves, you know, where is this facet of the Brohm offense? And that's the vertical passing game. Okay, he says he wants to get back to the vertical passing game. And, you know, you look back at the season, Mark, and, you know the limitations of Jack Plummer, even though, you know, he had Jamari Thrash and had Amari Huggins Bruce and had some very capable receivers. We know now that Plummer had limitations, and with Jawaard Jordan and Isaac Rendo in the backfield, you know, he had two NFL running backs, so he relied heavily on the run game, which is not something we figured would happen, but those were the players that he was given, and so that's what he made work. But, I mean, how excited are you, and, you know, how feasible is it to switch back the offense to the true, quote, Brohm style and get vertical again?
Yeah, really interesting, thing. Because, you know, last year Jeff Brohm had three skill players get drafted, and the quarterback is the problem. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Thrash was a really good receiver. I would say that the rest of the wide receiver group let Plummer down, and
okay.
Plummer also let down some of those receivers. I mean, just going through, like, Amari Huggins Bruce was he was like the missing man for much of the season. Like, everybody's like, well, somebody's got to step up here. Let's do Huggins Bruce. And Huggins Bruce did that before Jeff Brohm. He did that with Scott Satterfield.
Yes, he did.
Well, he was just kind of this guy. Oh, well, yeah, if we get that guy going, he never got going. You know,
right. He'd have a game or two in there that you'd be like, oh, wow, there it is. And then he would disappear.
Exactly. And I think, you know, as great as Thrash was, he was basically the only, like, power five guy in the wide receiver group last year, you know, and I think that was a real problem and part of the reason why, like, Scott Satterfield, you know, when he was there, like, he had trouble getting receivers because he wanted to run the ball.
Yeah.
And so, you know, come in and the offense is set up to run, and Jeff Brohm utilized it. Why not? He also had a really good defense last year, and a defense that probably makes him you know, okay running the ball a little bit this year too. If Tyler Shuck is a little dinged up, if you just got to get to the end of a game,
yeah,
or something like that, I do think that Louisville is going to be able to throw the ball, you know, a lot this year. Whether it's Ja'Cory Brooks, Colin Lacey, having tight ends, you know, for the first, like last year, the tight end group for Louisville football was basically a zero.
Yeah, you know? I talked to Matt McGavick about that yesterday, and he was like, it's like the Kentucky offense. It's like the offense that I watch every season, Mark, where the tight ends were relegated to blocking. And the Miami game, there really wasn't a standout tight end performance at all.
Totally. And, I mean, it's like Kentucky needs to invest in their tight end coach. You know, it's almost like they need to invest more in that position.
He's got that. Don't worry. He's got that locked down. The big dog's got the headset on sometimes. We don't know if Simple Man is pumping through.
We don't know if it's plugged in.
It might not be plugged in. He may be listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd. Who knows what's going on with Mr. Big Dog. But as long as he keeps recruiting at the level he has been, I'm okay with a little drop off the tight end. And to your point, they've had talented tight ends. I mean, they have had talented tight ends, and they just have never really done much. I mean, you remember C.J. Conrad, and you know he was a big time 4-star tight end recruit, and in his 4 years at Kentucky, you know, he had a couple standout games, but it wasn't like, you know, having Brock Bowers or, you know, somebody like that out there. Which with Brock Bowers, those types of guys are very few and far in between.
But unlike Kentucky in terms of, like, where the tight ends are really kind of mostly blockers, right, for the most part, Louisville and Jeff Brom's history at the tight end position is way different, you know. So he really likes to involve the tight ends. It's almost like a check down, you know, like, you know, you draw up some plays, but, hey, tight end, you know, quarterback flush the pocket, get open. You know, and that was not there last year at all, and wasn't in the slot either. And that was the thing that was really shocking to me. Like, yeah, we lost some really stupid games late, right? Like, we shouldn't have lost the Kentucky game. Like, that was dumb. Florida State without its two top quarterbacks, you can't drum up any offense,
right?
And it's like, well, okay. Part of the reason is because Jeff Brom's offense is about the slot receiver and the tight end, and they didn't get anything out of those two things last year. And so, to me, I'm really excited because Jeff has had a year, really more than a year, to kind of get this going. And I think that the message was received on the transfer portal with the coaches that, look, I need a better quarterback. I need some slot receivers.
Right.
I got the best slot receiver in the portal in Colin Lacey. And I need, you know, and I need tight ends. And they went out and got a bunch of them. Skynyrd from Miami, Redmond from San Diego State, super productive guy. And then Isaiah Cummings right there.
Kentucky. Desert. Yes, there you go. Now, this leads me to my next question. And then Indiana has just dropped their non-conference schedule. And I've got to have you react to this because it's pathetic. I mean, it looks like a Kenny Payne non-conference schedule. But
Indiana basketball?
Indiana basketball, yeah, Indiana basketball. Looks like a Kenny Payne non-con schedule. So,
Woodson gearing up, baby.
He's getting ready. he did well in the portal, but he's not scheduling like it. He did very, very well in the portal. I guess Mark Cuban finally decided to throw Woody some cash his way, some NIL his way. But you touched on the transfer portal, and right now, let me see where they are. But Kentucky has been, the last couple of weeks, has really been cleaning up in the high school football recruiting world. And they've been, you know, getting some 4-stars, and they've got a JUCO guy yesterday for, you know, to add to this year's. He'll play this year.
He'll play, like, right now in 2024.
Yeah, he'll play. Yeah, he'll play in 2024. But for me, where do you land on the conversation? Because, you know, anytime that Kentucky gets one of these guys, you know how things go on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, where the sniping starts back and forth between fan bases and da-da-da. So the pushback I've been getting from Louisville fans is, well, you know, we don't need high school recruiting anymore because, you know, we have the transfer portal. Huh. And I'm in the belief where the transfer portal is uber important. I mean, look at Kentucky and Louisville both the last couple of years. in regards to their quarterback. They both had to go out and get dudes in the portal because they didn't have – well, Louisville has a different situation. They have Pierce Clarkson and Brady Allen, some guys where they've recruited some quarterbacks. But I don't think Jeff Brohm feels like they're ready. I'll like, you know, your opinion on that. But, you know, especially with Kentucky, Will Levis, Devin Leary, and now Brock Vandergriff, I think there needs to be a good balance between the portal and then recruiting guys, high-caliber guys from high school that you're able to bring up through your program and watch grow. And then, you know, tout your development staff and your strength and conditioning and all of those things that go around with it. So I push back on the, oh, we're fine. It's just the transfer portal because there are going to be years, just like in high school recruiting, you know this, where there's going to be a banger class and there are going to be years where there's going to be a junk class. And transfer portal is the same way. I think that's why it's so important that you're able to balance the two together.
Sure, and I totally agree with that. Everything you just said. I mean, the thing is, like, I do think that you don't maybe need 25 high school kids.
Sure, like, yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Maybe you need 15, you know, and Louisville right now has 12. And I also think that it matters to recruit the areas that matter to you. So for like UK, it's going to be Ohio, it's going to be Kentucky, and if you have an advantage on, like, I know Stoops has gone into Michigan and parts of the South, but not really. It's really been Ohio, Columbus, Cincinnati.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, Michigan, they dipped into there.
Yeah, places like that. So when you have an advantage on a kid that's going to be something, you should take them. Like, you should do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
100%.
But you also – it also doesn't suck to come in second.
Sure. You know? No, it doesn't. Yeah. Be a top – well, hell, not even – I mean, around here, you know, for Kentucky and Louisville, you want to be in – you should be in the top 25. Right now, Kentucky sits, according to Rivals, number 25. They've got 17 high school recruits right now. And so they're sitting at 25 in the rankings according to Rivals. But no, you're right. I mean, it's really cool to be able to be like, put that, that's a badge of honor. Like, you know, we're up there competing with, you know, some high caliber schools. And if you land in the top 25, I think that's kind of our sweet spot. Let's see, 24/7 has them. If I can, okay, so Ohio State's one in like all of these. just
sure.
FYI, and look, they should
like
be.
If it's Kentucky, Louisville, or
they're 19 and 247. There you go.
If a player is between Louisville and Ohio State or Kentucky and Ohio State, right? One of our two schools, and they decide to go to Ohio State as a freshman. I'm like, great.
Yeah, go for it.
When that player decides to transfer out of there, we're probably going to get him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, and then maybe he stays. Like, I felt that way with Zane Mikulowski, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was from right across the river over there in Floyd Central, a very good player. Louisville's on him early, got the commitment. And he flipped to Ohio State. And it just happened again where the kid front basically right outside Columbus.
The Ohio Jake State. Cook?
Yes. Yeah, Jake Cook. And to me, I look at that, and if it was, this was 5 years ago, I'm like, damn. Now I'm like, all right, we'll set the clock. Maybe he'll transfer out of there. And if you get enough, if you're in enough second place positions, you're also going to get an older player when they come through the pipeline, and you're not going to have to spend a spot on your roster to do that. Now, Ohio State's going to get enough kids that are going to start and finish their career at Ohio State. Louisville, Kentucky, same thing. But so I do think that that balance is really important, and but the funnel is more important to me. The funnel is, or if you're a Mark Stoops, yeah, you lost to Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. Did you get enough of those guys back in? And did you get enough of the guys grown up through your program? I mean, Louisville's going to take the field this year with four-year starter Michael Gonzalez, four-year starter Renato Brown, four-year starter Ashton Gelati. Those kids matter in your
100%.
Program.
Yeah, same thing with like Deion Walker and the returning Kentucky's returning like four 100%. Or five offensive linemen. And
you don't want to get Deion Walker as a fret, like you wouldn't want him in the program. Like,
right?
Maybe he starts and finishes his entire career there.
Yeah,
he will. So, yeah, man. Like, I think it matters, but I also look at it as when you lose a player, it's maybe not the end of the world like it might have been.
Yeah, no, you're exactly like when Damian Harris went to like 15 Kentucky football home games or have, you know, through his recruitment through high freshman year until his senior year, he went to a bunch of Kentucky home football games. He seemed like a guy that Kentucky was going to get, and then he opts to go to Alabama, and I'm like. Right. Okay, yeah, he went to Alabama, and he was great at Alabama. I mean, he was fantastic at Alabama. Jedrick Wills was another one. He was a Kentucky kid, five-star offensive tackle, ends up going to Alabama. And, again, I can't fault that kid or dunk on him. Now, if he went to, like, I don't know, South Carolina or something like that, I'll go, okay, fair game there. But if it's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, you know, Clemson, Florida State, someplace like that, I think you got to, like, I mean, this is a very logical take by you, but you look at yourself in the mirror, like, okay, that's going to happen. It just is. They're football blue bloods. They have a recruiting budget that probably, you know, dwarfs ours. So it is what it is. You say, okay, move on to the next one. And as you said, you know, if they enter back into the transfer portal and you say, okay, we had that relationship already, and Kentucky's gotten a couple of those guys where it's like, we had that relationship, why don't you come on back? And they come back and then, you know, let right. the chips fall where they may.
And the portal too, just in like a general sense, is I think helping create parity in college football in a way, because like, I can't tell you how many times, like, Louisville had a player, like, at a specific position that was transferring in and sitting out. Mm. And you're looking at that player and you're like, I could really use Eric Shelton right now. I could really use Josh Harvey Clemens on yeah. the field in 2015, you know, versus right. Auburn. As opposed to waiting, you know, a whole year or whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, you have, you know, so, I, you know, can't tell you how many times we're like, thin at corner and you've got a cornerback who's transferring and you're sitting there looking at him and like, why he's right there. Like, that's the answer to all our problems.
Sure.
And now, so, but now schools like UK, you know, you're going to play a Georgia, right? Like, you're going to play Georgia, and they're going to be loaded up top to bottom. And typically in those years, like, Kentucky would have a whole lot of position. But now you can recruit around it. Like, Jeff Brohm, this spring, he lost Tyler Barron back into the portal, Lion Barron, you know, like with his torn labrum.
Torn labrum.
Yeah. Jeff like Brohm packed his stuff. Hey, Tyler, let me pack for you. I know your labrum's hurt, okay? And he also lost Mason Reiger to injury in the spring. So
yeah.
Mason Reiger is a really kind of a big deal at defensive end for Louisville. And you realize after the recruiting cycle typically ends – that you're going to be down two defensive ends that you thought you were going to be down. The portal now allows a coach like Jeff Brohm to go back in and recruit like five defensive linemen. So one of them is going to work out. You know what I mean? Like one of them will work out just fine. Another guy will be a development guy. That guy will be a depth piece, and we'll figure out which one when we get into the camp.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. And Kentucky, you know, lost some guys, but not as many as I thought. Like the fact that the fact that Deion Walker has stayed at Kentucky, like, I'm stunned at. I honestly thought after this season, when we saw him drop back and like knock down passes and drop back into coverage a few times, I was like, okay, this dude, we already knew he was different. I didn't know he was that different. And
but
so
think about it, man. Like, who? Number one, if you're at a place where they love you, that's already great.
Yeah.
You know, they already love you. You can establish a legacy there. You can go chase a payday, but why? You know, and then also you're in a defense that already works for you, and you're already going to be a top, what is he going to be, top 15 pick?
Top 15, top 10. I mean, he's yeah. in some draft. If he has a monster season, that dude can go top five.
Right. So let's say he transfers to a SEC school, and they're bringing in a new coordinator and all this other stuff, and they gave him the bag and all this stuff. And that guy ends up being Brian Van Gorder. What happens to your draft guy?
Right, Brian Van Gorder. Oh, my gosh. What a throwback. Now, here is I love to get your reaction on this because I know you love talking schedule, especially non-con schedule.
Yeah.
Here's Indiana basketball. Non-con schedule, okay? SIU Edwardsville, Eastern Illinois, South Carolina, because they have to play that game because of SEC. They don't because, Big Ten SEC Challenge no longer exists. It should be Big 12, sorry. But they're going to play South Carolina, which they might have a fine team. We'll see.
Who's coaching South Carolina now?
Lamont Paris? Yeah,
oh,
Paris.
That's right. Yeah. He didn't leave.
He didn't leave. No, he stayed. He had a damn fine season for the Gamecocks last year.
Fun fact, they call him Quarter Zip or Zip Up on their campus.
Really? Quarter
yeah,
Zip
found
or
that
Zip
out
Up?
Through one of my friends because I was like, oh, I'm kind of loving your coach right now. Low-key kind of want him in Louisville. And they're
yeah.
like, you can't take Quarter Zip or like Zip Up. And I was like, whoa, all right.
They put their foot down on Tanner.
Yeah.
So after South Carolina, they get UNC, but not a top 25 team. Then they get UNC Greensboro. They'll be in the battle for Atlantis with U-Wall.
Yes.
And then they end up there with – here's the rest of their non-con after battle for Atlantis. Sam Houston, Miami – of Ohio, Chattanooga, and Winthrop. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah. I mean, how sad is that? What a sad-ass non-con schedule for Mike Woodson. Come on. You got to do better than that, Woody. I thought you were an NBA guy. Come on.
Yeah, you can't be kicking out media being like, we need only positivity. But, you know, like, you know, I will say UNC Greensboro is a way better team than I think a lot of people realize. They play in a really nice arena there in Greensboro.
Yeah, and they're routinely in the NCAA tournament.
Was it Greensboro or Wilmington that beat UK at Rupp last year?
I don't know.
That's a Strebel question.
Yeah, they didn't lose. It may have been two seasons ago. Who was
the UNC branch that beat UK then?
Now
I remember it was
a
weird non-conference game.
Yeah. No, they got beat
by... That started the Calipari sirens, though, I remember.
Like, very early. Because they dropped a bad game in Rupp Arena early. And that wasn't the only one under Calipari's tenure, by the way. I mean, he lost to Evansville.
Oh, I know.
I remember the Evansville one.
I laughed.
No, you're right. UNC Wilmington is who it was. It's UNC Wilmington. They lost that game after they beat Miami by 22 points. Then they go back. They lose to UNC Wilmington 80-73. So yeah, good memory for you, Tanner. I think I tried to block that one out of my memory.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's pretty bad, but it could have been what we did.
Well, that's a great point. It could have been Leanne Rimes. It could have been Leanne Rimes for sure.
Could have been 12 wins in 2 years.
Yeah. So we'll dive back into this more as we go. We have plenty of topics here on the table. Mark Blankenbaker joined us from Casa La Blankenbaker up there in Santa Claus, Indiana, where he is recouping.
You come up here, man.
I know we do, but you know how my summer are. It's nuts.
Cooperstown, Niagara Falls, you're out there baseball, but you got a kid that's not playing, so
yeah,
a little extra time.
Yeah, a little extra. Now we do. Now that after this weekend, we're finished. After this weekend, we're done. So I'm going to try to get my wife on board to do a little holiday world trip and then check out the Blankenbaker pool.
You got to do it, man. I mean, I want to see a cannonball in the pool.
You'll see one. Yeah. Give me a couple bourbons or beers, and I'll be cannonballing all night long. All right,
I've got a bit of both.
I'm sure you do. All right, let's take a break. On the other side of things, Justin Edwards had a disastrous debut in the summer league last night. We'll dive into that. And how much did Dan Hurley leave on the table by remaining as UConn's coach, and much, much more as we roll along here on the round table. But before we do that, I want to talk about something that's close to Mark's heart as it is to mine. It's Tri-State Men's Health. We're both on the testosterone program. We're both on the semi-glutide program. It's done wonders for both of us in regards to energy, weight loss, just overall feeling better. Mark, like me, has numerous children, so he's taken them to practices and friends' houses and events and everything, as am I. And, you know, there are days where you just don't feel like doing it.
No.
But with the help of Tri-State Men's Health and those testosterone programs, I feel more energized. I feel like, once I get home, I'm not just sitting on the couch like a potato, like I'm ready to go. Like, what do we want to do? Yeah, like a potato. You're just getting round is all you're doing. That's why I got my name Round Daddy. What are we going to do? I got things to do around the house. I got to mow the lawn. Got to clean the pool. I got to do all these things. So if you're in your early to mid-30s, this drop in testosterone is a normal thing. It's a natural thing. All guys go through that. But there is something you could do about it. And Mark, I know, like I said, I know you're doing this. How you feeling? You're sick, but when you're not sick, what's this Tri-State Men's Health testosterone program doing for you?
Oh, man, it's all the energy, man. You know, it's just like, you know, keeping up with a toddler is a lot of work. And, you know, just being able to have that energy and to just, you know, you feel it, man. Like, you feel it. Like,
yeah.
you know, 3 o'clock, 2, 3 o'clock, and a lot of guys, you maybe want to take a nap. This, you know, you kind of just go through it. You know, it's no big deal. The semi-glutide weight loss program is where I'm feeling the most benefit, though, like 25 pounds.
That's amazing.
25. And I think Rummage is like beyond me even.
Yeah, he's looking good. I see him on – I haven't seen Rums in person in a while, but looking at him on Instagram and Twitter, old Rum's looking pretty damn good. So
old Rum.
You can go ahead and log into their website, tristatemenshealth.com. Take that low-T quiz. See where you are. It takes about 2 minutes, 10 yes or no questions, nothing too intrusive. And then your next step is to schedule a consultation with a licensed medical provider, $99. But if you sign up for testosterone that day, it's free. That's right. Your visit is 100% free. Give them a call, 800-900-9654, or visit them, tristatemenshealth.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Love to get Terry Rozier back. That'd be fantastic. Miss Terry.
You miss him?
Yeah, you know, I always...
What do you miss about him, Mark?
He was a great interview.
Yeah.
I always, like, Terry Rozier, when he was here, I always went there, had a good relationship with Gina, his mom. I really loved, talking with Terry.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, after us tonight, you have Reds versus Rockies, 6:40 p.m. here on ESPN 680, 1057, as we are the affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Check that out. And I found out where Anna is, Mark. Mark Blankenbaker joining me today here on the Round Table, and appreciative of him taking the time out of his day and doing the show with me. She's in Isle of Palm, South Carolina. So she's up there in the land of Satterfield. It's not Boone, North Carolina. It doesn't have the majesty of the mountains, but it looks like a pretty nice spot. So Isle of Palm, South Carolina is where she is.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's really close to Charleston.
There you go. Where Chris Mack is. We'll talk a little Chris Mack here at about 5 o'clock. Now, Tanner, did you search Instagram for Maria Montgomery? Did you look it up?
Not yet.
No, come on, Tanner.
What are you doing? What are you doing back there?
I don't know.
He's got a Buccaneers jersey on today, which I like the Bucks. I got nothing wrong with the Bucks. Whose jersey are you wearing, Tanner?
You really want me to say?
Yeah, I do.
Antonio Brown. And I showed Ennis it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I love it. I love the pewter jersey." And I was like, "Do you see who's on the back?" He's like, "Oh God." And I was like, "Okay, let me defend myself." They won the Super Bowl.
They did.
And all my roommates, like, they were Patriot fans, so they, like, one of them got a Brady jersey, one got a Gronk jersey, and I was like, you know what?
This guy
was one of the best wide receivers I've ever watched. Let me get an Antonio Brown jersey. Then, like, 6 months later, I was like, oh, yeah, kind of a bad decision.
Yeah, he has a very interesting Twitter feed.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And I'm being kind by saying interesting. 437-968.
He knows how to work social media. Let's say that.
Who? Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
The views.
Yes, he did. So we'll get Tanner's reaction on Maria Montgomery. I'll dive to the text line here in a little bit, but I still want to continue talking to Mark. So, Mark, as you know, Justin Edwards came in to Kentucky as, you know, in some services, the number one player overall. Yep. He was a lottery pick, before the college season started. I can't remember which draft projection had him number one overall in the lottery, but he was,
all in on him, too. You were like, man, he's Reed Shepard who?
Yeah, exactly. No, I was. You heard those shows. I was poo-pooing Reed Shepard in lieu of DJ Wagner and Justin Edwards. boy, was I wrong. But he, you know, he goes undrafted as, you know, one of the bigger busts in Kentucky basketball history. And so he made his summer league debut last night. And oh boy, not great.
Good. Not good.
His stat line overall. And, you know, Bronny James had a better stat line in his debut than Justin Edwards did for the Philadelphia 76ers. So,
Give him the headline, though, like they did Bronny? Like, Bronny had like 4 points in a summer league game, and they were like, oh, Bronny James scores 4 points. And I'm like, why is he on the cover? There were like a 230 points that day.
Right.
And he got four of them. Which is below his college average. Like, what are we doing? Like I don't understand. Like, why there's a – like, he's not going to be a good player. Like,
he's not.
When Chris Smith was in the NBA, it's because his brother, JR. We all know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But nobody did any write-ups on Chris Smith.
No, none. No, like, exactly. And Chris Smith had better numbers than Bronny James did when Chris Smith was at Louisville.
Oh, heck yeah. Chris Smith was a good college basketball player.
Yeah, he had much better numbers. So, last night, Justin, he did start. He played 18 minutes, 0 for 2 from the field, 0 for 1 from 3, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, no points. So that was his debut last night.
Is Rich Paul going to blame that coach too?
Is Rich Paul? Yeah, great point. Is Rich Paul also going to blame whoever is coaching the 76ers summer league team for Justin Edwards' poor performance? Is he going to throw them under the bus the way he did Calipari? Which, you know, look, there's a lot to criticize about John Calipari, but the stuff with Clutch and Rich Paul, that ain't his fault. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not. And if Justin Edwards, you know, was what he was supposed to be, we're not having this conversation, but he stunk. I mean, I'm sorry, he shouldn't have been starting. He stunk. And then he goes into the NBA Summer League and throws up a dud. Now, he might come out the next night and have 15 points or something. I don't know. But things aren't going in the right direction for Justin Edwards and making an NBA roster right now.
Right. Yeah. And that, you know, and this happens to kids. It sucks when it does.
Yeah.
You know, when you're highly regarded and you don't live up to those expectations, like, it's got to suck. But it doesn't mean you throw away your career. He should have come back to school is what he should have done.
Yes.
He should have come back to college. And, you know, for whatever reason, bad advice, probably from Rich Paul, you know, threw him into the draft. And now he's going to, you know, have his chance here. Like, I actually believe, like, this new NIL era is going to be so much better for these athletes like him, because what is his NIL deal at UK, or what he could have gotten at Arkansas,
sure,
or wherever he could have gone? He could have gotten some money. He would not have been able to get cut, and he would have been able to develop his game.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with waiting a little while longer? Zach Edey just got drafted in the first round.
Yeah. He's 12 or whatever it was. I mean, he got drafted in the lottery. People were like, what the hell? And then his first summer league game, he had like, or, you know, his first two summer league games, I think he put up double doubles. I mean, it's like 15 and 12 points or whatever it is. So he's doing very well for himself. He waited the 4 years and it paid off. And look at Antonio Reeves. I mean, we'll see what he does in his summer league performances. But he's in college for 4 years, 5 years, whatever it was. And he gets drafted way earlier than he would have ever gotten drafted if he would have stayed at Illinois State. He stays in Kentucky, gets drafted in the upper part of the second round, and now he's sitting on an NBA team. And I give him better odds to make an NBA roster than Justin Edwards right now. Totally. I just do, because he's got something that the NBA covets more than anything, and that's shooting.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he can shoot. And if you can shoot, you'll make it in the NBA. You know, there's a lot of specialist kind of guys, you know, that make it in the NBA. But the thing is, that's why Reed Shepard got valued where he got valued, because he's athletic and he can shoot. You know, so
yeah.
All right. You know, watch the NBA right now, and that's just what it is. So it's, you know, I hate it for kids like that. We've seen so many kids at Louisville do this, you know, whether it's Sam Williamson, Wayne Blackshear, VJ King, guys that are kind of that McDonald's all
Shaquan Aaron.
Well, yeah. Shaquan though was the only one of those that you could see coming from the locker room. Like,
oh yeah.
Just like, what? Okay.
this guy's not gonna be great, man. I forgot
well, he
about.
Didn't have that attitude. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He didn't have the right. Like, I remember talking to Shaquan Aaron, and they, you know, played a clip of me talking to Terry Rozier. You know, you used to be able to get in the locker rooms and talk to these kids,
yeah,
and get a sense of who they are. And like Terry Rozier was always like, yeah, you know, got to do this, got to work on this, I'm gonna grind hard, whatever. Shaquan Aaron was like, I'm doing everything he says. He hates me.
Now, he was a Patino guy, right?
Yeah,
I thought so. Yeah, okay.
Patino was just on his butt, you know, trying
he's
to get
being
a car. But these kids that play at five high schools, they don't accept coaching.
No,
they just don't.
Yeah, so. That's an important part of this is watching where they go. Now, to you, who was the biggest bust for you as a Louisville basketball fan? You know, hyped about a guy, you know, five star McDonald's All American comes in, doesn't pan out the way you expected him to. Who was that guy for you?
No, it's VJ.
Yeah,
you know, I think and that was a confidence problem. You know, I don't exactly know why it didn't click on for him, because it looked like he had a lot of like really nice tools. Like, because for example, like Wayne Blackshear didn't turn into a pro, but he was a nice college player.
He won a national title. Right. I mean, he was a big part of that national title team.
100%. And Sam Williamson,
Elbow Sam! Yeah! You know, let's go!
10, 11, and 8. Right? Like, it's not good. It's not great. But it's at least you were productive at college. VJ was not productive.
No.
Like, at all.
I remember, sorry, cut you. I just remember watching VJ King's highlight. So, as a teacher, it's actually waned a little bit, but early in my tenure as an educator, the rivalry made it to the classroom. Now, a lot of these kids, they don't care. I don't know
really?
If it's Mark, it's wild. It's the wildest stuff. I used to have, you know, debates with kids. We used to, put up their highlight reels, you know, at the end of the day during home. Room and like watch them and stuff. Yeah, it was great. It was fun. It was fun going. The back and forth was awesome. And I remember watching VJ King's highlight reel when he committed to Louisville with you know some of the Louisville fan students that I had, and I was like, that's the slowest, saddest mixtape I've ever seen of a player. Like, there's nothing dynamic about his game. He wasn't dunking. He wasn't really doing – there's a lot of, like, mid-range jumpers and layups and stuff like that. And I was like, guys. I was like, come on. I was like, no, he's a beast. He's a stud. Da, 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 da. And then, you know, we had the infamous Dieter rant. leave him on the bus. Where, God, who's there? Howie Lindsay? Is that who got into it with? On Twitter.
Well, that was a separate incident.
You okay.
Know, that was you know, Dieter mixes it up. You know?
Yeah, he does. Why we love him back on Twitter.
Exactly. But no, you know, that's the thing about in the Louisville-Kentucky rivalry. I'm sure this hat is the same for UK fans. But when Louisville beats Kentucky or Kentucky beats Louisville, if you're on the losing side, somebody on social media is going to get it from your own fans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
Like, because they are mad. Because they've lost, and they're going to lash out at their opponent, no doubt about it. But you're going to get a card on card crime or cat on cat crime, and somebody's going to get it. It's important to stay out of the fray at that point in time.
Right.
And Drew Dieter, he just was like, you know, maybe they should send VJ King back on the bus with Kentucky. That made him public enemy number one.
Yes, it did.
Because it doesn't – you're going to get it, and you might even get it inadvertently. And so when you know that you're going to lose and you're in the rivalry game, it's best, truly, to just lay out because it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
Like, do the quotes. Do the quotes, do the facts,
yeah.
Move on.
Yeah, I've been on that end of it, not so much in basketball, but, you know, early on in Mark Stoops' tenure in football, you know, where he was, you know, playing Charlie Strong and Bobby Petrino before he lost his mind again, where, you know, Kentucky's on these lopsided, you know, ends. And I did a post-game show once from Chicago with Mark Ennis after one of those. It was the infamous trash can game.
Oh, the game where Louisville didn't punt and then we haven't beaten you since.
That game. The last time Louisville won, where Denzel Ware threw the trash can at Lamar Jackson. But I remember doing that game.
It wasn't thrown out. It was just totally. Yeah.
No, it's like, hey, you know, just make sure he's being a conservationist. He was showing the youth of America how important it was to put the recyclables in the recycling
and
bin.
The trash.
Exactly. That's all he was. Yeah. He's trying to send a message.
Saving the bears is what he's doing.
Yeah, Smokey the Bear.
Trash land. playing around. You know, you'll track bears.
Well, did you see they introduced trash cans to New York City, and Mayor Eric Adams made a big deal about it. He like had a press conference and he brought a trash can out with him, and it was like it's some
they
brand
trash cans in New York City.
Yes, yeah,
they've had them.
I thought. Yeah, I thought they'd had trash cans.
The pigeons and the rats go in them all the time and eat.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
It's where Pizza Rat came from. Remember Pizza Rat in the early days of social media?
Are they supposed to be like pest, like maybe new trash cans that maybe keep the pest out so we don't keep feeding the rats?
I don't think so. I don't think they're like updated. It looked like the trash can that you and I put in front of our house in John Calipari, because, you know, he takes out the trash.
They've rolled them out for the residents. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. I think it's
because like in London, there are no trash cans because of the IRA, right?
Really?
No. Everything goes on the light post. You throw all the rubbish around the light post, and then they clean it up every day. But the IRA, because of bombings,
yes,
right there, there's no like public trash cans.
There might be a bomb in it.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, I did not. That's interesting. I did not know that. But yeah, I think it's for residents. And Mayor Eric Adams, he rolled out a trash can. He opened it up and he put like a sack of garbage in there. And it was like this watershed moment in New York City history. And I'm like, bro, I've been doing that since I was like 10 years old. Like, I've been doing that for 32 years.
Suburban America.
Yeah. Welcome to the burbs. Welcome to suburban hell, where you take the trash out in a trash can. But I just thought that was really funny. But yeah, to your point, I had to do this post game show. We did a joint post game show. Mark and I, Ennis and I did, and. Like, there's no smack talk to be done by me. Like, there's not. Like, I couldn't say anything. I just said it was shameful, and shame on Denzel Ware. And I'm like, what am I supposed to say? I can't go in there and talk crap and talk like to your point. You lay out, you give the stats, you give the facts, you talk about the game. But in no way was I in a position to be like, oh, that was just a one off. Like, no, he's got our teeth kicked in. Like, I'm not going to sit there and battle Mark Ennis on the show about the rivalry when you just got embarrassed on TV. So no, I get where you're coming from. He's got to lay out and just take the lumps. You got to take the lumps and tuck your tail and fight again another day.
Right. And I've said this, though, that, you know, we haven't beaten Kentucky in a while. But, you know, of the games that really kind of get under my crawl, you know, between Louisville and Kentucky, it's 2002, right? That's that one, and then last year, the 2023.
Yeah.
Those are going to be two that I really struggle. Like, even the Lamar Jackson one. Because we had just lost to Houston the week prior, it was like, it sucked because you don't want to give up the Governor's Cup, and I think we'd won five in a row at that point.
I believe that's the correct, yeah.
Maybe four, maybe could have been five. I think it's five. But, you know, so that one sucked, but we got it back the next year. This one, we hadn't won in a long time. It's right there. I feel like we're the better team, and I think the way we lost it was just stupid, like fumbling the ball, kickoff return for a touchdown, all of a sudden Devin Leary starting to connect on his throws.
Yeah, like, I was shocked at that, too.
What the hell is going on around here?
I remember talking
that
to...
That one bothers me.
I remember talking to Sweeney after that game, and he ran into you in the parking lot, like you were getting in your Tesla, and you're leaving, and he's like, that's about as sad as I've ever seen Mark. Because I agree, I mean, you were going to the ACC title game, you were in line for a really good bowl game, and because they're talking Orange Bowl and all these other things, and Brom in Kentucky had another season where they had just lost to South Carolina like 17-10 or something stupid like that. And so I had mentally prepared myself to go into battle at L&N Cardinal Stadium, not like really physically, but you know, catching the taunts from Louisville fans, and I'm sitting up there on the party deck, and I'm, you know, I've already had some fun before the game, as you famously know. But I'm sitting there watching it unfold. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like you said, like Devin Leary all of a sudden looked like the Devin Leary we were supposed to get. JJ Weaver was just a complete wrecking force, and he had kind of a down year after a much hyped return. So I was just stunned. Of course, on radio, I have all the bluster. We're going to win the game. Bah, 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 all that stuff. But the inner Strebel, the angel on my shoulder, was whispering, it's probably going to be bad. They're probably going to lose this game. It's not going to be good. And then I'm watching it happen. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. And then the post-game show was a disaster. But other than that, yeah, I'm with you, man. I was a little surprised the way that one came out. So I can see how that one sticks in your crawl as a thorn in your side, as they say.
What now, cost Louisville an Orange Bowl? You know, it cost Louisville an Orange Bowl. And you know, like in 16 it did too, right? Like it cost Louisville an Orange Bowl. But Louisville still could have beaten Florida State and gone to the Orange Bowl. And
sure.
You know, they had two paths, beat Kentucky or beat Florida State, and you're in the Orange Bowl. And, you know, the fact that they didn't, you know, the fact that it ended up that way, that they weren't a New Year's 16, you know, were they really a New Year's 16? No. They weren't. Like we talked about that all year. Like, you know, they're like even when they were 10-1, you know, or why are we not getting any playoff talk? Because we're not playoff good. Like we knew that. We knew that the team had flaws, but still you want to be able to get to achieve. And when you're better than the last team on your schedule, Kentucky, and it's a rivalry game, when you are better than them and then you lose the game, it sucks. And the two games that I felt the worst at halftime in, we ended up winning. Yeah, Georgia Tech and North Carolina State.
Yeah.
And the two of the games I felt the greatest in were Pitt and Kentucky, and we lost them both.
Yeah.
And it's just weird. It's just weird how that happened.
It was weird. IU was a little touch and go, too. I know that.
We were killing them, though.
That's true. It was the second half, really, is when Louisville started to have issues in IU's defense. Not their offense, obviously, but their defense came alive a little more. But, yeah, that happened mostly in the second half. All right, let's take another break. On the other end, we have the power ranking for UK opposing quarterbacks. I'd like to pick Mark's brain and who are the better quarterbacks that Louisville will face this season in ACC team. Let's have a hot seat watch. Where do Brohm and Stoops land in those regards? They have two lists, and they're two different lists. I'd like to say that one's just an ACC list and one's a national list. And then who does have the hottest seats in college football? We'll talk more of that as we roll here. The security company that you need to go to, whether you're a homeowner or a business owner, is Sonatrol of Louisville. That's right, a locally owned and family operated company for over 35 years. We know how we love our locally owned companies here in ESPN Louisville land. They're one of those. And they have 355 star reviews on Google. So that tells you the number one security team in Kentucky. It's not one of these national brands, one of these national companies. It's right here, homegrown. So their business means more than most. And they have the top of the line when it comes to technology. They have high resolution cameras, night vision. They also have that no false alarm guarantee, because once you get more than, I think it's like two or three false alarms, they start charging you for those. And you don't want something like a bird or a cat setting off your alarm, and next thing you know, the 911 is beating down your door at 3 a.m. You're like, what the hell's going on? And you got to pay for that because your security system stinks. Sonatrol does not stink. SonatrolKY.com is the website to check out, or give them a call, 502-966-8999, 502-966-8999. They also do cameras, badge access, fire monitoring. You control it all from your phone because it's the 21st century, and you should be able to control from your phone. Visit them at SonatrolKY.com.